Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Have you been having a great time? Have you been having a great time? You know, some people can come for a meeting like this and they are just looking around. It's very possible. God can be moving somewhere. You know, it's very possible for God to be moving here and the next person doesn't know. That's very possible. You remember the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and there were other people around. They were watching them. And those guys were filled with the Holy Ghost and these ones were watching. What's going on? Imagine. There's so much happening and they're asking what is going on. So you can be there and the Spirit of God is moving and you're just watching. You know, not everybody who was on the day of Pentecost got saved. So some folks that walked away that even forget that nonsense. What's that? Intellectual guys. Forget that. What is he saying? I can't just be talking like that and say, this is that. What is that? Which that? You just walk away. So the attitude of faith is what receives. An attitude of faith. And faith is never present when there is no honor. You can't have faith where there is no honor. Honor means to respect something. Amen. That's not my sermon this morning. I just said that. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel 16. Glory to God. I'll read again starting from 15 this morning. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We said that Jesus is referring to keys, which you can call access, privilege, authority, keys. And we said it's the old word, kleis or kleio, or kelio, which has to do with access or authority. So, now notice something. You know, when Jesus sent out his disciples, his apostles, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 5, he said, go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he said, what he said to them was, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely should you give. Now, listen to that. That means people will receive from the kingdom. People receive from the kingdom of God, from the authority that is in Christ. But you see, that's not what he's saying to Peter here. He's not talking about you receiving from the kingdom. He's saying you exercising the kingdom itself. So, we're not just supposed to receive healing or receive miracles. We're supposed to exercise the authority. That's why he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So, you have access to the authority in the kingdom. Many times, we organize programs for believers and we just want to meet their needs. So we ask him to come and receive. And that's okay. Right? But you see, Jesus did not make a church or birth a church to receive miracles alone. We receive miracles. But he birthed a church that should exercise his authority. So a local church should not just be where your needs are met. A local church should be where you are also taught to meet other people's needs. So because he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, I give you the authority, access to authority. And we've been studying that, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Remember Luke's Gospel 11 verse 52. He said that the scribes and the Pharisees, he said they had the keys. They had the keys to knowledge. And he didn't allow anybody to benefit from it. And he was talking about the scriptures. So, the authority of the believer is where? It's in the scriptures. That is, we find it in the scriptures. What is written? We find it in the scriptures. Now, that's it. So, we said that the authority of heaven, which we call the kingdom of heaven, we said it is here on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is here on earth. So we did a study yesterday, don't forget that, where we talked about heaven and then what does heaven mean. Okay? Right. Now, let's go into some specifics now. What did he say to Peter about that authority? He said, whatever you bind where? 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 In the earth shall be bound where? In heaven. Now, like I said yesterday, the earth is where the authority is used. The earth. So, he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And that expression has not been understood by many believers. When I was a younger Christian too, I remember we used to say, I bind you, Satan. I bind you and I cast you to the bottomless pit. They would say, I bind you to the Red Sea. I throw you to the Red Sea right now. And I remember there was one service, everybody was praying. Some people were saying, I bind you. Some people were saying, I lose you. So I kind of felt, when this one's binding, this one's will lose him. And what a nice drama for the devil in that prayer service. But you see, what does binding and losing, what does it mean? You must realize what it means. And I want you to pay attention. Now, the word to bind, we'll look at that first. Whatever you bind in heaven. Now, remember, when we say in heaven, what are we referring to? The non-material world. We have, in that world, we have angels. We have demons, right? We have spirits. That's what heaven means there. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Now, look at that word bind. Now, that word bind is from an old word, D-O, D-E-O. D-O, D-E-O. Now, sometimes it's used for using objects. But every time you want to use the word deal, and you're referring to tying something, you must talk about an object immediately. That is, I'm tying something. I'm tying it. So, if you don't see an object like a rope, or something, or a house, just like, you know, that word, for example, is used for prisons. You know, a prison would mean that there's a gate or there is a restriction. A physical object or a chain will hold bound the person down. So, that is D.O. Whenever you see it used, and it will mention maybe prison, for example. An object. So, that's the first thing it can mean. But when you don't see an object used, okay? then it carries a more stronger application. Then it means to compel. To compel, all right, or to prohibit, to stop. It means to stop an activity or to ban. Let's look at some text now that explain that. Look at Romans 7:2. Romans, the book of Romans chapter 7 and then verse 2. Romans 7:2. Here's Paul, and he's talking about a woman and a husband. A woman which has an husband is bound by the law so long as he liveth. That means she's compelled or prohibited. Now, I don't think there's a rope put on her. Huh? I believe so. There's no rope. So, compelled, okay? That is, she's under instruction. That's what it means. Under instruction. Then you see another place. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. This is Paul. Wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer unto bonds. For the word of God is not bound. You see that? Now, that word bound will mean is not prohibited. The word of God is not under anyone's authority. The word of God is not bound. For example, Paul was talking about how he was in bounds, that he himself was tied down. But he says, but my preaching is not stopped. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So, when Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. For example, look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 12. It talks about a strong man in Matthew's Gospel chapter 12. Verse 29. Hence, when you come into a strong man's house, and spoil his goods. Into a strong man's house and spoil his goods. Except he first does what? Bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. That means he will restrict the strong man. He will stop the strong man from function. Now notice what he was talking about. Read verse 28. What's verse 28? If I what? Huh? By what? Then? Now, what are we discussing? We're discussing the authority of the kingdom. Alright? So, he says, if I cast out. So, he explains casting out as binding. That is, when you cast out a demon, you are forbidding it from acting further. You are forbidding it from acting further. I'll give you an example. There was a day, we were holding a meeting, and this fellow obviously had a demonic operation. He was just being funny in the service. So I said, keep quiet, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not even a large meeting, it was like a sitting room. Now, the demon probably was in his body. I don't know where the demon was. I don't know where the demon stood. But I just cast it out. By doing what? By forbidding it from doing anything further. Now, it's not unlikely that when it goes out, the thing continues. Because you don't have control over people's will. But you see, to cast out is to bind. bind, to forbid from doing anything else. For example, I want you to listen very well. So, like I said, now the same word Paul uses in Acts 20:22, where he says, I go to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit. So, it means to compel, to make to do something. So, when we cast out a demon, we are making the demon do something. We are not respecting its rights and privileges. Hallelujah. We are making it to do something. And that's not just about demons. Remember, Jesus says, whatever you bind in heaven, that is, all spiritual forces, all spiritual beings, all, it says you can forbid. Hallelujah. And that's why it's so ridiculous when someone, you know, a couple of days back, I made a comment about asking people to die because they gave a law. And the truth is this, I was surprised some people who preach grace, finish work, forgiveness, they actually believe that action was right. And I'm thinking, you're a confused bunch. In one breath, you are saying God is compassionate. He's died. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. In another breath, you are asking people to die. You are confused in your theology. Jesus told his own disciples, don't you know the spirit that you are of? The Son of Man has not come to destroy. He has come to save. What we should be doing is to forbid, not to ask the person to die. That's ignorance. Somebody was telling me, he said, you know, it's because you don't know what people are facing in that place. I said, where are you talking from? You're talking from Lagos. What are you facing in Lagos? We have churches there. And whatever was said affects us. But we are praying. Hallelujah. That's where we use our authority. We are praying. What did Paul say? Paul says, pray for us that the word of God may run a free course and not be hindered and be glorified, even as it is you. That's what he said. He didn't say, pray that these people should die. He didn't say that. He said, pray that the word of God should have free course, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. In verse 2, he didn't say that the wicked men will die. He never said that. See, the new covenant is called the ministry of life. It is not the ministry of death. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. Glory to God. You must understand the scriptures well. When I was younger, I remember there was a man I worked for. I was a preacher. I still am. And the man did not pay me my salary. So I said, you insult the man of God. And I went on all the school buses, because it was a school. I laid hands on all of them. I said, stop working. Stop working. Stop working. Stop working. You know what happened? All the buses stopped working. I'm ashamed of that thing. A year later, unknown to me, the son of a man started to attend our fellowship. I could not share that testimony. The son of the man began to attend our fellowship. That's not the ministry of the gospel. No. The apostles were persecuted. Nobody died for their sake. Hallelujah. So get that right in your thinking. Are we for, we cannot be for somebody saying the gospel should not be preached. Definitely we can. But you see, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. So we do not react in the flesh. If you're in a campus and people are making laws against the gospel, don't be silly. Just go and pray. Hallelujah. Go and pray and keep preaching. Don't be afraid of persecution. They can come and disturb your meetings. Keep doing it. It happened in the Bible. Hallelujah. In fact, there was a time they came after Jesus to come and arrest him. And Jesus went between them and went away. Hallelujah. Remember when they came to capture Jesus and all the soldiers came. The Bible says, where Jesus said, I am he. And they all fell down on the power of God. And they got up again. I thought they would fall down. All of them would just perish. They got up again. And Peter, emboldened by that, he brought out a sword and cut the ears of Malchus. And Jesus said, what is that? He took the ear and put it back. Hallelujah. Why did he do that? Because what Peter did is not the ministry of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Very fine. So, we're talking about binding and losing. So, to bind means to compel. And is referring to what? Spiritual realities. Spiritual things. Spiritual beings. That's what he's talking about. So, that's what it means to bind. To forbid, to prohibit. To compel. Now, the second word is to lose. And that's the word luo in the Greek. L-U-O. It means to release or to unbind. It's the very opposite of the word bind. And it's also used for to destroy. Now, to destroy means to make it inoperative. It cannot work again. To lose. So, both of them refer to the same activity, it's just using different terms. There are terms of authority. To lose. Or to make available as well. To make available. Now, let me show you where this was used. Again. Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. So, what do we do with our authority? We either allow or, we either what? Allow or, come on, we either what? Or, we either what? Allow or disallow. Now, wait, you know we said, it's for spiritual realities. Pay attention to something now. Two chapters after, Jesus was now teaching. Two chapters after. And in verse 18. Verily, that's Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, this scenario is a bit different. He was talking about if somebody should offend you. That's the first thing he said. He said, if somebody should offend you, in verse 15, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Then he says, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. You have what? You have gained your brother. That is, he's saying, relationship restored. He says, if he won't hear you, take you one or two more. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. That is, they will judge the matter. Who is right and who is wrong? He says, if he neglects to hear it, tell it unto the church. If he neglects to hear the church, let it be unto him, unto thee, an evil man and a publican. Now, you can take those scriptures and remove it from the context. I don't know what he's talking about. So when he said that, He says, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed where? Huh? Now, put your hands there and look at the pretext of that statement. The pretext of that statement was this. Before he said that, pay attention now. Pay attention. I used to think, and I didn't know, you know, I used to think that the statement in 18 stood on its own. Until one day I was studying. That's why it's good. No matter how many times you have taught something, read the scriptures again and again. And make sure, as a duty, it's a duty, I make sure I read through the Bible, not study subject. I make sure I read through it at least 3 to 4 times every year. That's the minimum. Not to study for subjects, no. I also make sure that I study at least an epistle every day. At least. I've done, not for this service, I've done between yesterday night and this morning at least 3.5 hours of study. Not for this service. You must read it. Because, you see, revelation knowledge is progressive. You keep learning. I used to take that scenario out of it. But one day, I just read it again. And I felt, no, that's not what he's saying. I thought he meant, if he doesn't hear you the third time, give up on him. He's a sinner and a publican. That's the exact opposite of what he was saying. Because the pretext is, he was talking about offenses, forgiveness. Then he says, how think he, if a man, verse 12, have 100 sheep, and one of them should go astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which is gone astray? So if he finds it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, are you following this? So, if somebody should offend you, he said, look for him. Right? Look for him. If he doesn't listen to you, take 2 people and say, come, let's talk about this matter. If he doesn't, tell it to the church. If he doesn't hear everybody, he said, treat him like a sinner and a publican. So I thought it meant, deal with him. But I was wrong. How did Jesus deal with sinners? Now, wait. Like I said, that was the pretext. So the pretext was to what? Restore relationships. Am I right? Now, look at the post-text of this scenario. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall bind heaven. Now, say, look, I say unto you, if 2 of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. And where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. Now, where did he say 2 or 3? He said, take 2 or 3 to him. Now, if he doesn't hear all of you, he says, you know what? Call the 2 and 3. And then agree. Agree. Agree on what? So whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you lose is loosed. Agree on what? And they were watching. That said, okay, master, how often can my brother sin against you? And Jesus said, and I forgive him. He said, 7 times. 7 times. So Jesus was saying, pay attention, that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. In other words, he's giving us the authority to forgive. Hallelujah. To forgive. In spite of the fact that the brother has not been restored in relationship, he said, you forgive. So he's saying, forgiveness is in your responsibility. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So he goes ahead. Wait. And then he's talking. And don't forget, when Jesus is talking to men under the law, he has to use the law. Because that's what they understand. But you see, we'll read it better now. Look at this. So, he now gave them a parable. A parable of forgiveness of sins. That was a parable. Then he said, in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts you forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So what was Jesus talking about? Dealing with the brother or forgiving him. Huh? Huh? So what do we lose on earth? Huh? What do we lose on earth? Huh? What do we lose on earth? What do we make available? What do we stop? What do we stop? What do we stop? Unforgiveness and forgiveness, are they spiritual realities? Thank you. He said, in your heart. So that verse is not for prayer, even though it's okay to use for prayer. It's actually talking about forgiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see how you understand that? Is it clear to you? Forgiveness. He's not talking about dealing with the... I used to think it meant if he doesn't listen the third time, deal with him. You know, sometimes it takes a while for your denominational thinking to get out of your body. Not your spirit, because you're born again. So, he's saying, whatever we agree on earth. So when believers come together over offenses, what do? We agree on what? What do we agree? We agree on forgiveness. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? We agree on what? Forgiveness of sins. Glory to his name. Is that clear to you? Is that clear to you? So, that means, what do we have authority over in the kingdom? Forgiveness. He gave us forgiveness. You know, they asked Jesus in Luke's Gospel 5. They said, who are you to forgive sins? He said, the Son of Man has authority in the earth to forgive sins. Hallelujah. You know what that does? When someone does something wrong, and we make forgiveness available, he will not reap what he sowed. He will not. That is who we are. He will not. That is who we are. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that is who I am in Christ. See, that is who I am in Christ. So, you've got authority in forgiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't say, it is God, I may have left you alone. It is God to forgive. Don't say that. You are the one that will forgive. Hallelujah. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. So, what do we have authority to stop? What about to make available? Amen. Amen. No, that's just like God. That's just like Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4. So, the nature of the ability to forgive and the ability to stop offenses is where? In our spirit. Just like our Father. That's why I said, like the Heavenly Father. That means, His nature is your nature. God doesn't have a greater ability to forgive than you do. Say, to err is human. To forgive is divine. I've heard it on the pulpit. To err is human. Say, to forgive is divine. I leave you to God. No. God left them to you. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? God left them to you. Let me say this. I say this, and I teach this so strongly, that unforgiveness, in my opinion, is the worst thing. Do you know why? The entire life, the entire Christianity is built on forgiveness. Remove forgiveness from the Bible, where will we be? Nothing. You don't have an excuse for unforgiveness. Because everything you are is because you were forgiven. I mean everything. Man of God, woman of God, son of God, boy of God, father of God, senior father, grandfather, whatever you are. Whatever you are. Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. I thought he would say, die. Say, Father, forgive them.
And we saw the same Christ life. You know, the same thing Jesus did was what Stephen did. The same thing. The same thing. Hallelujah. Because as he is, so are we. I said, as he is, so are we. There was a dear sister. I used to pastor a church then, back then, Lagos. Not the one I pastor now. Some 18 years ago. And this lady came for counseling. I try to avoid counseling a lot of times. Because most of the people that come for counseling are those who don't listen when you are teaching. That's why we spend time to explain, so that you won't come and ask and ask and ask. You know? Some guys, they will be sleeping in the service. Say, after they wake up, say, I want to see you after the service. If you had seen me doing the service, you need to see me after the service. So she came and she's crying. I said, why are you crying? She said, when I was young, my father did so and so to me. I said, wow. So she said a lot of things. I said, but that was when you were young. You are now old. I said, that's no problem, sir. I said, what's the problem? Yesterday, he got born again. So I was trying to understand what she was saying. That means he will go to heaven. I said, he will. You mean everything he has done? Because you teach us that God has forgiven. He has forgiven. So he has forgiven my father too. I said, absolutely. I said, so that thing he did when I was young, I said, absolutely. That one needs to go back to foundation school. Hallelujah. Say, forgiveness is mine. Say it strong. If I said money is yours, you'll have shouted. Say, forgiveness is mine. It's in my authority. It's in my authority. Very good. So now look at Ephesians chapter 4. So if the brother does not hear you, what should you do? He said, I don't believe I'm wrong. I don't believe I did it. I don't believe that you still what? Huh? You say, how can I forgive somebody who has not repented? No, he has to deserve it. He has to deserve it. Did you deserve your own? You deserve your own. It's the same nature that God has, that you have. Same ability. Glory to God. Under the law, when they were told, love your friend or love your neighbor, hate your enemy, it wasn't from the mouth of God. Because what you saw, what Moses was saying, was called the reign of sin. That is the reign of sin. So the law strengthens sin. That is the reign of sin. That's what it is. It says, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you be like your father. Are we like our father? Are we like our father? Amen. Now, notice something. So, can there be offenses in God? Can there be offenses in eternal life? Can there be offenses in the spirit? Now, so come here, see something. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you there? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is, don't say things that will destroy people's lives. Did you hear this? Let no, the word corrupt means to destroy. He says, but that which is what? Good. For what? The use of what? Come on! That it may what? It may minister what? To who? Do you minister grace? In your office, do you minister grace? Just get angry and you say whatever you like. said that you may minister grace to the hearers. Look at the next thing he says. And what? Huh? There are people that think grieving the Holy Spirit means when you are in a service and then they say, everybody sit down, you stand up. That's giving the Holy Spirit. No, that is not giving the Holy Spirit. That's just disorderliness. Grieving the Holy Spirit is unforgiveness. Anger. That's what it is. Anger. It says grieving of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean grieving of the Holy Spirit? That word there is to annoy, to make uncomfortable. Why? Let me ask you. When you get annoyed over something, it's because it's something you don't want. Right? Come on. Right? So, grieving the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed, it means you are doing something contrary to your nature. So, the Spirit reacts in anger, in annoyance. That's not an annoyance. For someone, an annoyance of the discomfort. It's a discomfort. Now, what is this? What is this? So he says, what is? Whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be what? And be what? Uh-huh. Kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our spirit can only forgive. It's in the unrenewed mind that will retain anger, bitterness. So, the spirit is uncomfortable with what's in your mind. Do you understand that? Now, we have a teaching out there that I think every pastor should get. Separating spirit from the soul. Is that the title? Huh? Good. People have always called the soul the mind. It's not true. Go, listen to me. It's very explanatory. The soul and the spirit, to separate them. The man has a spirit, has soul. Man is a spirit, also has a soul, lives in the body. It's not biblical at all. So you go study. When you listen to it, you won't have any questions. Trust me. Not a single question. Amen. Okay. So, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. So, whatever God did to us in Christ, He made it our nature. Whatever God did for us in Christ has become our nature. We can do the same thing for others. Hallelujah. Say, I'm just like my father. Say, I'm just like my father. So, grieving the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed, refers to your own conduct. Your own conduct. So, rather than that Matthew 18:35 that says, if you do not forgive, your father will not forgive you. That is the law. Now, in Christ, we forgive because we have been forgiven. We take our initiative from what God has done in us. And the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hallelujah. Say, I'm the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, notice that. So, pay attention to this one. This is very vital. Did you notice that unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger are sins against your spirit? Against the Holy Spirit. He calls fornication, which is also a sin. He calls it in 1 Corinthians 6. He calls fornication in verse 18 a sin against your body. Now pay attention to what I'm going to say. People have said, well, that's a sin against the body. Well, the body is God's own. Right? Because that's what he said. He said your body belongs to God. So fornication is to defile what belongs to God. But you see, listen carefully. He is saying that when you have unforgiveness, Or better still, if you look at that Ephesians chapter 4, he was talking about love, walking in love. When you don't walk in love, it's a sin against the Spirit. It's a discomfort, an annoyance on the Spirit. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, when you refuse to love and consider a weak brother, he says in verse 12, you sin against Christ and against that brother. And that carries a... Brother Hagin used to say this. And I didn't understand it when he said back then. That the sins, spiritual sins, that's how he classified it. He said they are heavier than physical ones. And he called them sins of the heart. Motives. That's why you find anger. Bitterness. There are folks that are bitter with their husband. 20 years. Some with the church. Many years. Some a member leaves your church and you hold it. 10 years. In fact, I believe that when we get to heaven, you know what I'm talking about now. Some believers will pass themselves. So you came. So you're also okay. I did. It's so funny. Hallelujah. When you harbor grudges, it's contrary to your nature. You are living an abnormal life. Below yourself. Bitterness. What bitterness? I've taught you before. How do you release bitterness? By words. You cannot confess who you are in Christ and hold a grudge. And hold a grudge. It's not possible. There was a brother like that in my university. I asked him to sit down. It was in the first year. So he had a problem with his admission and all that. So he really was beat. I said, sit down. He said, we are going to confess who you are in Christ till your mind changes. And he began to confess. He said, can I stop? I said, you keep confessing who you are in Christ. You can't confess who you are in Christ and hold a grudge. You can't. So, rather than calling somebody to tell the person what they did to you, start saying what Christ has done to you. Hallelujah. Start saying what Christ has done to you. Hallelujah. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I react like Jesus. I speak like Him. I respond like Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we have authority to make forgiveness available. We have authority to stop offenses. Glory to God. That means in your church, we can all agree to stop offenses. Right? If two shall agree on earth as touching forgiveness. Praise God. We can all agree. Rather than meeting that brother's house to talk about that sister, we can agree on forgiveness. Amen? Rather than meet on the BlackBerry group and say, do you know what I saw? Do you know what he saw? What he saw, Sissy? We can all agree, hallelujah, on who we are in Christ. Amen. Is that clear to you? So, it's about authority. The same way, so don't always think that we're talking about demons alone. No. Not just demons. We're also talking about spiritual realities. Forgiveness of sins. Bitterness. Anger. Praise the Lord. Say, I have control over my emotions. Over what I think, because I have authority in the kingdom of God. All authority has been given to me. I have control over emotions, over my reactions, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, we cast out demons by that authority. Okay? And Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 28, that if I cast out demons by what? By the Spirit of God, then the kingdom is come on you. In other words, when they were casting out demons, they were casting out demons by what? By the Spirit of God. They were casting out demons by what? By the Spirit of God. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 10 verse 5 to 6. They were casting out demons by the Spirit of God. Also, remember, they came back to Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 17. He said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. I've told you before, the word name means position. Alright? Position. Reputation. What was Jesus' position in the four Gospels? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That was his name in the four Gospels. How he's anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. So those folks, if they were going to stand in his place, they will also function by the Holy Ghost. So they were casting out demons. Pay attention now. That's why Jesus told them in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and he will send another comforter to you, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and now shall be where? In you. So, when they were casting out devils, who was with them? The Holy Ghost. But in the new birth, he is not with, he is in. Let me see how that's clear to you. Is that clear to you? So the reason why you cast out demons is not because you prayed. The reason why you cast out demons is not because you fast. I pray and I fast. I hope you know that. That's not why. We don't fast to get authority. We don't pray to get authority. We pray because we already have authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must always get that very clear in our minds. Our activities are to exercise our dominion, not to get it. Our dominion has been given already. So, you cast out spirit and demons by the Spirit of God. So, the Spirit of God, it says, it shall be in you. So, say in. Say in. Say in. Say in. Now, in you means that it is your nature. It is your nature. Recollect the prophecy that Ezekiel gave, Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27. He says, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you to walk. So, the spirit is your nature. That's why he calls it heart. So, that means dealing with demonic activity is natural to us. Just like forgiveness is natural to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's natural to us. We don't go for deliverance. We don't. We don't go for deliverance. And you see, people that preach all those things, they hold members in bondage. I like what Bishop Michael Conko said recently. He said, the reason why people preach the law a lot is because they want to hold people in bondage. And you know, do you know why Moses gave them the law? Because they did not want liberty. So say, you don't want liberty. You know what? This is what you're going to do. That's what happened. I saw a book several years back on deliverance. A book written. So, I opened it. Naturally, I don't read stuff all over the place. I think it's lack of discernment. So I saw the book, so I opened it, and I saw Colossians 1:13. I was so glad. That was the first statement in the book. And I read it. It was not a mistake. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us in the kingdom of his own dear son. I said, this is a wonderful book. The next statement said, even though this is written in the Bible, we know. That was the opening statement. I just closed it. You don't bother reading further. That is not a scriptural book. Even though, he said, even though, but we know. Who are the we? You and we. Not me and you. You and your people know. I'm what the word of God says I am. I have what the word says I have. Alright. So, forgiveness is your nature. Forbidding offenses is your nature. Just a few people understand that. Say, forgiveness is my nature. Now, dealing with the devil is my nature. Dealing with demons is my nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, come and pray for someone who has demonic problems. Say, now? Now. Why now? Now? Can you give me a few hours? What do you want to go and do? Please, wait, give it some time. I can't. I just miss watching a Chelsea game. Or if you're a Man U fan. No, those ones are already devils, so. Jesus said that Satan cannot cast out Satan. I have the proof. Where were we? Come on, get me back in the spirit. So, you know, you don't say, give me 4 days, please. To do what? Ah. The demon you are talking about like that. I need to get power. From where? It's the same way. Listen. Casting out demons is like breathing to us. Years ago, we had this meeting in Obomocho and myself and my friends. And you know, you won't even know we're preachers. When I was a younger preacher, I was a rascal. I was really a rascal. But I'm born again now. So, we just wear jeans and rock shirts because we believe we have the power of God. You know, they will go around. And there was this fellow who was insane. And everybody was running from him. Everybody was running. And we were joking on the road. Just wish that. You wouldn't even know we're Christians. It's not by clothes. It's what is inside. So, let's go out. In fact, those days we say, let's go and do something. You just sit and say, it's boring. Let's go and do something. You know what that means? Just go and do something crazy outside. Go and do something. So we just went. Follow me! Follow me! The guy started for it. Follow me! Nobody's watching. You know, as we took the guy away and we're coming back, people started moving back. Like, hey? And we're not like this. Shakara. I'm so sure there's some people moving back are believers. They probably are fasting. I don't know what this man carries. You know, when Jesus was casting out devils, he said he was a strange man, that he must have demons. People believe that if you cast out devils, that there's a problem. This is not a normal human being. A normal human being. Not a normal human being. I was in the house, and there was a lady who was staying in the opposite room. She's a holy Christian. Very holy. You see it like you see the holiness all over her. So my landlord, he put in some stuff on the door. Some stuff, you know what I mean? Some nonsense like that. Put it on the floor. He got it from somewhere. Now I was amazed. Christians say, you're afraid of somebody who has jazz. He got it from somebody. Who got it from somebody? Who got it from somebody? Who got it from the devil? And then you are free. You got it. You got authority in Christ, and you are the one running. He got it from somebody. In fact, the person that gave him will not even tell him where he got his own from. So everybody's hiding it. But see what you have. You are seated in Christ Jesus. And the sister, she will pray every morning. She will do morning devotion every morning. Morning devotion, morning operation, morning motion. So I didn't even know that the thing was there. I came in very late, about 1 a.m. Don't do like that, because I just said what I did. So I just came in and I opened the door. I saw the thing. What is this? I removed it. So I put it on my table. I now put it in pieces. What's this? So she came in. Boshagufa! I said, what? Baba said, Christian. I just took it. I said, Boshagufa, I love her. Thought. If there was a demon there, the minute I touched it, it goes. If there was something on it, you touch it, it will go. Hallelujah. Don't say, don't put it down first. What's wrong with you? Touch the thing, my guy! What's that for? You want to get power? No, you came with power. You have power already. Hallelujah. What will you be doing, Mashakaba? When it is marriage seminar, you are going for all over the place. Or business seminar. Or entrepreneurship workshop. You hear that one in school, on radio, on TV, also in church. Let's hear that one all over the world. When we come to church, we learn spiritual things. How to take charge. Hallelujah. So that guy is possessed. He's possessed. When I was in school, I told some guys in my class, I said, we have witches in this class. I said, witches? Did you see them? Did you see them? I said, do you want me to show you? I said, in this class? Hope I have not asked anyone out. I said, I'll let you know. You know, it's good to shakara people. You know those movies? A man of God will marry a witch and he's the one afraid. He's the one that will be destroyed. He's missing destroyed. No. When you marry a witch, she gets born again. That's it. How can you marry a witch and say, You say, do you know that your wife is a witch? She's a witch. Hey. Oh God, are you okay? That is a new convert in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What will now happen? You will become a wizard. Hallelujah. That marriage has already bound the strong man. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't anybody harass you and divide your family with those nonsense. Do you know that your wife takes away, she removes her hair at night? It's true. It's an operation in the spirit realm. Confuse people. Confused. Hallelujah. And what the world says I have. I have what the world says I have. So where are we? So we are in the kingdom of God. Amen. People want to get married today, they say they want to go and see a prophet. Prophet says, bring the person's name. Sadia. I'm okay. What I'm seeing is not good. What I'm seeing is not good. Bring her. You two, you now follow. If you marry somebody like that, you need third work of grace. Somebody who takes your name to a prophet. There you go. Baba, now kneel down. Are you the Shadia? What I'm seeing is not good. Change your glasses. What I'm seeing is not good. You need to pray. You need to fast. I will give you something. Now bring palm fronds. After coming for captivity, this thing, you will lick it before you eat. When you finish eating, lick it again. Nothing will happen. And you believe that. Jesus said, I've given you all authority. You didn't believe that one. They said, leak it, you believe it. Go and leak it. You need to be leaking things. You have to leak. I'm seated in heaven. Far above all principles and power. And might and dominion. Everything that is named. In this world, and that which is to come. Hallelujah. I have what the word says I have. So, that is the spirit in us. We have authority by the spirit in us. Now, notice this. This is where we're going this morning. Right. Let's jump my notes quickly. I jumped what I was saying. So, Jesus now begins to talk about the spirit. I told you yesterday, he spoke about the spirit in two dimensions. In two dimensions. Now, another dimension which we related the walk of the spirit, you know, he said the spirit in, then he mentions what he calls the promise of the spirit. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. The promise of the spirit, or the promise of my Father, our Father. Luke's Gospel 24. You know, John had prophesied about Christ. John the Baptist, in Matthew's Gospel 3, verse 17. He said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You see that also in Mark's Gospel 1, verse 8. Luke's Gospel chapter 3 again, verse 16 and 17. And then John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 33 to 34. So you find it said, I baptize with the Holy Ghost. I baptize with water, that's John the Baptist. He that comes after me will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Now, what is he referring to? Jesus explained it. Luke's Gospel 24, I want you to listen very, very well to this. He says, behold, verse 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I send the promise of my Father where? Upon. Someone say upon. Say upon. Very good. Now, what's he referring to? Now, in John's Gospel chapter 7, verse 39 or 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Pay attention now. Please do. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, look at what he said. Shall drink. Now, when you drink, in the natural, you take water, and you put it in your mouth. Right? Now, this term, drink, refers to receiving and then saying. When you read drink, drink here is the use of the mouth. So when it says, come, and drink. It means come and speak. You see it now. So, drinking is speaking. It's a figure of speech for speaking. Hallelujah. For speaking. Just like when he said, eating to. When is it eating? It's a figure of speech for speaking. Confession. To say. To say. So, when he said, come and drink, and then John said, this is spoke of the Spirit, he was referring to utterances. Now, you're about to see that because we'll go into it in detail. Are you following? Are you following? Are you following this? Good. So, John
said he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. That's what John said. And Jesus said, come and drink. And he called it rivers of living water. So when you drink, there will be a flow. That is, the drinking causes things to come out, not to stay in. Let me see how you understand that. Come on. You following this? Thank you. So follow this now. This is very vital. So in Luke 24:49, it says, wait for the promise of my Father. Now, these guys, at this time he was talking to them, they were already born of the Spirit. Right? So he says, wait for the promise of my Father. Wait. What is that? Go to Acts 1:5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 1:5. I'll start from 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Is that the same thing? Is it the same instruction? Huh? Is this the same instruction we just read now? Okay. But wait. Wait for what? Huh? Wait for what? Of the Father. Which you have heard of. Which you have heard of. So, who gave this instruction? Not any of the prophets. It was Jesus. Because this will be related to his resurrection and ascension, which you have heard of me. That's what he said. The promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. So, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. So in verse 8, you shall receive power, I'm coming to that later, after with the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. He's not talking about the new birth. The new birth is not upon. He's referring to ministry. Not the new birth. Now, listen well. So, he said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. That scripture referred to Christ. Alright? But in identification, that scripture now relates to us. Out of his belly shall flow. So, the first thing is that we drink, we take from him. Then out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Now, that word flow in the original means something that does not stop. So there will be a continual flow of utterances. So Jesus is referring to speaking. Pay attention here. So he says in Acts 1, you shall be witnesses. Now, witnesses is an old word for testifying. Material, to testify. You shall testify. So, you can see that he's talking about speaking. Luke 24:49, the previous verse 48, and you are witnesses of this. Because he told them in 47, he says, in his name shall forgiveness of sins and repentance be preached in all the nations. And you are witness of it. That is, you will be the one to testify of this. But wait. Hallelujah. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. Now that word from on high is not coming above. That word on high is where you are seated. Hallelujah. Seated on high. The on high there refers to the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. So what's he saying? Till you are filled. Till you are filled. That's what he's saying. So, pay attention to this. Now, in John 20:22, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he says, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. That was an instruction. So term, mark that word, John 20:22, receive the Holy Ghost. Mark it, because we're going to see what it means. Receive the Holy Ghost. In listen carefully. In the new path, it is said that we have received. The instruction to receive is speaking of something else. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. John 20:22. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? So, he gave them. Now, to understand those things, and let me tell you how to study some things. You read all the last statements Jesus made to them. In Matthew, all we read was, all authority in heaven and earth is given me, go therefore. Not much information. Verse 18 to 20. Just say, I'm with you to the end of the age. In Mark, you say, go into all the world, verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes in the battle shall be saved. He that believes in the battle shall be condemned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. So, very short explanations. But then, Luke added something. That before they went out, he told them to what? Wait. Because they didn't go out immediately. He told them to what? Huh? To wait. So, whatever Mark was talking about, there was an instruction between it. Wait. Whatever Matthew was saying, there was an instruction between it. Wait. Before it, sorry. Wait. John said, added it, receive the Holy Ghost. An instruction. Luke said, tarry till you be endued. Acts 1:5, wait in Jerusalem. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come on you. Do you understand that? So, before they went out to preach, he asked them to wait. Is it getting clear? Is it getting clear? I've taken four accounts together. And I've clarified what happened in the four accounts. So, watch this. He told them to wait before they went out to preach. You know, in the four Gospels, he sent them out to preach. Before he sent them out to preach, the Bible says he gave them authority. He gave them power. To send them out to preach. That shows you the preaching of the gospel is supernaturally done. He said, wait. Wait for what? Hallelujah. He said, hallelujah. In Acts 1:8, you shall receive what? Huh? Huh? Power. Let me, what does it mean to receive? To receive means what? To take a hold of something. To take a hold of something. Something you were given. You now take a hold of it to use it. So he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come on you. Then what will happen after? You shall be witnesses. That is, you shall testify. Okay? Are you getting this? Are you following this? You shall testify. Now, everything Jesus is speaking about here are they post-resurrection realities? Huh? Are they? Are they? That means there are things available at where? At the resurrection. You know, we said earlier that there were things available before Jesus died. There were. So whatever he's going to talk about has to be things that were not available before. So, what exactly happened? Now, let's track back a little bit, because I want to do that for you. In the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, how did we know who prophets were? We knew who prophets were by what they said. By speaking.
prophets were identified by what? By what? Come on, by what? Jesus said, O fools, Luke 24, 25, 27, slow of heart to believe all prophets are spoken. Spoken. In 1 Peter 1:10, it says, the grace, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you, that is, who spoke by the Spirit of the grace that shall come unto you. So the prophets were known primarily by speaking. The content of what they said. Now let's examine someone. Prophets were not classified by the miracles that they did. That is why, did you notice that Elijah was never quoted except by Paul? When he says, and that what he said, what he quoted him for was more of ignorance. Lord, I am, everybody has departed me, Romans 11. Nobody quoted him. There's no reference of Elijah about Christ, not one. Did you notice that? Nobody quoted him. Not one. He has no book to his name. Because there was not much. He was doing a lot of wonders and signs. But he was not saying much. So, are you following this? But he wasn't saying much. Now, a man now comes by the name of John the Baptist, who also is a prophet or was a prophet in that covenant. Go to John's Gospel chapter 10, verse 41. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Right. What does he say? John's Gospel 10:41. Can we take it together? Let's go. Huh? Let's go. And many what? And said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man, they are true. Hallelujah. So the primary ministry of a prophet was not miracles. It was to what? Now, who were the witnesses of God in the earth in the old covenant? Prophets. Now, why did Jesus call John the greatest? Yet, he did no miracle. Now, this is not to validate anybody's ministry who doesn't have miracles. That's absolute nonsense. Jesus, who was talking, did miracles. Hallelujah. But, prophets were classified by what they said. So, John is called the greatest. Is it because of the miracles or because of what he said? So, prophets were classified by utterances. Am I correct? Good. So, is utterances concerning Christ? And before Christ, you see, as he was born, and he was rededicated 2 years after, you find so much utterances. Prior to that point, there was Zechariah in Luke 1:47. Then there was Elizabeth, Luke 1:67. No, Elizabeth first, then Zechariah 67. And they were speaking, prophesying. Then we had Simeon, then we had Anna. There was so much speaking about the incarnation. So much speaking. Are you following this? So, wait. The witness of God in the old covenant was primarily what? Utterances about Christ. So, here he is in his resurrection. These are people who were already preaching, who were already casting out devils. I mean, do you know that the disciples were already casting out devils before Jesus died? Did you know that? They were healing the sick. Do you know that? He asked them to raise the dead. Do you know that? Do you know that? So, he says, wait for power. He can't be talking about the things they had known before. He had said, he that believes on me, the works I do, he will do. He now said, greater. Greater is the word meizon. I'm coming to it. In the Greek, it means something of a wider reach. So he told them to wait. To wait for what? He says, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come on you. So, what happened? They waited. So, what were they waiting for? Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So let's go. Let's read together. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all where? What happened? And there came? As what? So what was the first thing? Sound. Sound. So they sound. So they sound. Say sound. So the first witness of Christ in the earth is what? Sound. And it filled all the house where they were what? And there appeared unto them what? Cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. So what was Jesus saying will be on them? Utterances. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them. So, what did Jesus ask them to wait for before they started preaching? Utterances. What was the first demonstration of his resurrection in the earth? Supernatural utterances. That was the first. Are you following this? Are you following this? Are you following this? We're about to walk through the book of Acts in a moment. We'll walk through the book of Acts. But before we do that, go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me show you something quickly. Hallelujah. 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 Are you there? Look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's what he said. Let's take verse 28 together. And God has set some where? First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, help, governments, this and diversities of tongues. So he said God has what? Set where? In the church. Notice that before he said that, he was talking about the physical body. That God has set the body the way it is. And I told you yesterday, and I'll repeat again, that he was referring to ministry. Every time you hear about the body of Christ, in this context, just like Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 16, or 15 and 16, Romans 12, verse 4, down to verse 8 and 9, he's referring to ministry. Ministry. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go back there, let's see it again. Verse 4. Now, let's take it together. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now, there are The same Spirit. Now, when he said the same Spirit, which Spirit? The Spirit that we have all received. So, all the diversities are where? In the same Spirit. So, in verse 4, are all believers the same? In verse 4. Are all believers the same? Do we all have the same Spirit? Do we all have the same Spirit? Do we all have the same Spirit? So, do we all have the same gifts? Do we all have the same gifts? Say like me, do we all have the same gifts? If we all have the same Spirit, that means we all have the same gifts. So, verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Differences of ministries. Ministries of what? Ministries of the gifts. Ministries of the gifts. There are diversities. That is, the gifts will be ministered in different ways. The word there is to minister and to serve. Now look at 6. They are what? Of what? Operations. Operations of what? Operations of the ministry with the gifts. Or the gift in the ministry. But it is the same God that worketh all in all. Now, worketh what? Huh? What is the all and all? Oh, now, eh? Worketh all the gifts where? In all the ministries. So the first thing is that all the ministries will have all the gifts. But the workings will be what? Different. Is that clear? Is that clear? Let's start again. Verse 4, are we the same? Are we the same in verse 4? Verse 5, are we the same? Huh? The service is different. So verse 6 says, there are diversities of operation, is the same God that worketh all the gifts in the ministries. So, notice that. He says the same Spirit, the same Lord. Okay, good. So in verse 28, he now mentions apostles. So, are apostles gifts of the Spirit or ministry gifts? Thank you. Prophets, gifts of the Spirit or ministry gifts? Huh? Why? Why? Because it is a diversity. It's a different one. He said, some apostles, diversity. Firstly, sorry, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Then teachers, what? Gifts of the Spirit or ministry gifts? Good. Then, after this, what? Huh? Why did he say after this? Why? Huh? Why did he say after this? Okay. After this what? Miracles? Are those words ministries or operations? Are those words ministries or operations? I'll ask one more time. Are those words ministries or operations? Now let me give you something to think about. Then I won't go further. Go and get the material in the Spirit, by the Spirit. I believe I explained it more. Notice he removed helps and governments. Right? That's how you will know he was talking about operations. Because he now splits diversity of tongues to what? Speak with tongues and then what? Interpret. Now, let's cool on that. So, he says, are all I told you yesterday, what is it at all? If I were to ask, if I were to translate that today, I would put a question mark there. I would say, all are not apostles. All are not prophets. All are not teachers. Hallelujah. Ministry gift. All operations are not speaking with tongues. All operations are not gifts of healing. All operations are not miracles. All operations are not interpretation. It's not referring to, can we all speak with tongues? It was talking about the diversities of operations. That there are many operations in the body of Christ. It's not one single one. Hallelujah. Very good. So, pay attention now. Are all? He says no. That's why the next thing he says, desire what? Huh? Desire what? Desire what? Let me back up a little bit. Look at 27. God, 28. God has set some in where? In what? Now, the church will be what? Mirrored by the local church. I've heard people say, I'm an apostle. I don't have a church. Then you're an apostle of where? An apostle is an apostle of the church. He said some in the church. So which apostle are you? All the apostles in the Acts of the Apostles were in the local church. See, I don't do local church. I'm senior to pastors, so may I just go around? No, you didn't get that right. You didn't get that right. Now, follow this. He says, to desire what? Huh? What does best mean? Is not the word best means greater. 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 Now, if you see someone use a statement, follow him through. He says, desire the best gifts. Desire the greater. The greater. The greater. Now, is he saying desire to have it or desire to function in it? Huh? Huh? Desire what? Now, when he said that, was he also talking to the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher? Hallelujah. Oh, good for you. I thought you understand that. Desire the greater gift. Maison. He's talking to everybody. So, he must tell us what are the greater gifts. Let me ask you. Before Jesus rose from the dead, did we have miracles? Gifts of faith? Gifts of healing? Word of knowledge? Discerning of spirits? Are you sure? Word of wisdom? So he said, the works I do, you will do. Greater. So, we had all the six in the four gospels. So it says greater, that means there's something greater than the six. So when Paul says, desire greater, what's he talking about? You read what he said later. Look at chapter 14. Do you know that Paul did not do a study on all the other six? He focused on three. He focused on three. Because the other six have been in existence. Are you following what I'm saying? Not as gifts, but in operation, people saw it. But said this one is a reality of the resurrection. Follow this now. 1 Corinthians 4. Are you learning something? Chapter 14. Look at this.
He said, desire the greater. Is that what he said? Look at verse 5. Let's take verse 5 together. I would. Everybody, come on. For greater. So, what is the greater? You are still thinking. Tongues plus interpretation of tongues is the greater gift. The greater operations. So all the ministry gifts must desire this one. It is common to all believers. He didn't say desire to be an apostle or prophet. No. No, he didn't say that. He said desire the greater. This one is for all. So, the utterance gifts are the greater gifts. Now, when I say utterance gifts, we're referring to tongues and interpretation. That was why he said diversities of tongues in verse 28. When he got to verse 30, he said, do all speak, do all interpret. He explained it. So, the speaking and interpreting are the greater gifts. Oh, come on, say. Yeah, when we have gifts of healing, when we have workings of miracles. I thought we just read about John and the prophet now. That the greatness of the prophet was in the utterance, not in the miracle, in the sign. You're going to see something now. You know the utterance gifts, they serve both the church and the world. Did you know? The church and the world. The utterance gift. You know, the day of Pentecost, we said earlier, the first demonstration of the Holy Ghost in the earth was through speaking. Through speaking. Hallelujah. You know, the gift of utterance also served the world. Paul was saying, if you speak with tongues, he said, the unbeliever will not know what you're saying. He said, but when you speak, okay, and you interpret, he said, both the believer and the unbeliever will receive. And he says, he will fall down on his face and worship God. Do you notice that? When he said, when you speak, he said, the secret of his heart will be made manifest. So that means tongues and interpretation, wait, they are a buffer. They carry much. That's what we're learning now. They carry much. You know, look at this. Look at this. You know, in Mark 16, he says, go into all world, preach the gospel to every creature. Did you notice that? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Everything he mentioned there, all the apostles had done it before. Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, take up serpents. They had done all that. He now said, tongues. He now added the word new. That is, that was the addition. This is new. Are you following? New tongues. Did you notice that that's the only place in the Bible where you find new and tongues? Other is other tongues, heteros, another tongue, other tongues, heteros, you know. But this was new. Jesus is telling them, this is what I ask you to wait for. New. This one is new. Let me see if you understand that. Come on. Are you following this? Alright. Hallelujah. You learning something? Alright. So, wait. Utterance gifts are the greater gift. Is that clear? Is that clear? They are the what? Greater gifts. So, chapter 14 verse 1. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Follow after love. Desire spiritual. But rather that you may what? Prophesy. He now begins to break down what it means to prophesy. He said, by he that speaks in tongues. Then he says, he that prophesies.
then he that speaks in tongues, then he that prophesies, then it says, he that speaks in tongues and interprets. It's an explanation. So when you speak with tongues, that is the starting point to prophesy. If you can speak with tongues, you can prophesy. Because it is the same flow. Hallelujah. So he said, desire it. Want it. Desire it. Desire to speak with tongues and desire to prophesy. Hallelujah. So, what is prophecy? Tongues plus. Come on. Come on, talk to me. Tongues plus what? Do you know, on the day of Pentecost, that was what happened. People assume on the day of Pentecost that they were speaking in different languages and then everybody was speaking in Ijebu, Igbo, you know, and all that. No. They spoke, you know, they spoke for 3 hours. Between 6 o'clock in the morning and 9. What were they doing? When Peter got up, what did Peter say they were doing? Said they were prophesying. And the Bible said they all heard them in the tongue wherein they were born. I will hear them speak. But the issue was, they were speaking like the prophets of the Old Testament. But there was something unique about what they were doing. They would speak in an unknown language, then they would speak out in a known one. And Peter got up and explained what happened. He said, this was what Joel was saying. And then everybody, okay. So he said, what shall we do then? They asked him. He said, repent and be baptized. Everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. He used the word gift of the Holy Ghost, singular. You won't find the word gifts in the Acts of the Apostles. It's gifts. Because what was unique in the Acts of the Apostles, what he never called miracles gifts. He never called word of knowledge, revelation gifts, gifts. Because that had been happening before. So what was given in the book of Acts were utterances. Are you following that? That word there is doron, freely given. What does that mean? Doron means that we are going to speak freely. Hallelujah. We're going to speak out freely. The same thing Jesus said, he that thirsts, let him come and drink. Out of his belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. So, you notice the word gift of the Holy Ghost. Single word. Not gift. So, what was given in Acts? Come on. What was given in Acts? Utterance. When you read gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts, what are we talking about? Utterance. Are you listening? Are you listening? So when Jesus said, receive the Holy Ghost, what's he talking about? Huh? Look at that term. Come back again. See. So, gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2, 39, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, that means, see how Peter says it. Peter put everything as one. And it was correct. Everything has one. And what was I talking about? Tongues plus. So prophecy is now what? Huh? Wait. Tongues plus is now. So prophecy is now what? Tongues plus interpretation is now what? So prophecy is now what? That's why he uses a singular word. Gift. So it is in that gift that you have two things. What are the two things? Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Look at Acts of the Apostles. Are you learning? Are you learning something? Acts 8. Look at this. This was when Samaria had received the gospel. And the Bible says in verse 15. And when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For it was not yet, it was yet not fallen on none of them,
only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17. When laid they, then laid they their hands on them, and they received what? The Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the hands of the apostles, what happened? The Holy Ghost was, he offered them money. Say, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Let's take 20 together. And Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, for thou art taught that the gift of God may be purchased with what? So, what are you talking about there? Now go to Acts 10. Verse 44. Acts 10, this was in the house of Cornelius. Acts 10, 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Alright? Let's take verse 45 together. Let's go. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out what? So the gift of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts refers to what? Utterances. Is that clear? So everyone that we saw in the book of Acts, every believer we have seen so far, or in that scenario, they all functioned in that. Did they? So the gift of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, is it gifts of the Spirit or operation? Paul teaches it as three things. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and good. So, prophecy can be called what? A gift, and also what? When it is an operation, we have tongues plus, when it is a gift, it is just prophesying. What is an oppression? It worketh all in all. So we have tongues, interpretation of tongues, and that is will be what? An oppression. Amen. Some things you go and think about it. Hallelujah. Let's just move forward quickly. Now, look at Acts 11, verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. So he calls it gifts. Tongues was interpretation. In Acts 19, verse 6, Paul laid his hands on those 12 folks in the Bible says, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how vital are utterances? Utterances are new. New. So, wait. Prophecy is tongues plus what? Tongues plus what? Now, let's examine the book of Acts. What was most prominent in the book of Acts? Miracles? Or utterances? Utterances were. They were the most prominent in the book of Acts. You know, sister, utterances were seen in all the believers. It was a common thing. Everybody in Acts 2, everybody did. And you see, people have been held in bondage, particularly the way we go about it. People get born again, then you now take them through foundation school. After that, they now speak in tongues. That's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Years back, I traveled to Southern Africa, and I went to a church to preach. As I was ministering the very first day, and I discovered how they were. It was the same day, in the morning. I discovered the way they were. Everybody was just, they saw something about a church not given to the things of the Spirit. You would just know. They were just looking.
I knew something was wrong. So I asked the bishop of the church, I said, what do you people believe about the Holy Ghost? By the time he told me the requirements to speak in tongues, the boxes were so many. You go to this school, this year, that year. And I wondered, in 1998, almost 2,000 years after the day of Pentecost, some guys were still tarrying. Jesus said, let us tarry. I said, go to Jerusalem if you want to tarry. But I knew that what will set them free is knowledge. So myself and my friend that we were going to preach, we agreed on what we're going to do. So I said, I'm coming back in the evening. And then I was, like I said, I was going to be a very radical, rascally, not radical. So I now wanted to look very, very unreligious. So I went to the meeting wearing jeans. And I put something on my neck. I won't do that again today. Just to cause trouble. So I came. I came very late so that he would not stop me. So I came in to service and I was really wondering. So I got up to preach. And as I got there, I began to share the word. And I began to share the word. And I explained to them that in the book of Acts, all the believers there spoke. In Acts 8, everybody did. In Acts 10, everybody did. In Acts 19, you could see their faces were lit up. Now, of course, before I went there, I prayed. Because don't rely on just speaking. I prayed. Their eyes were lit up. Because the first service I went there, as I was preaching, as I finished preaching, the elders, they would come out like this. They would stand on the podium and they would be speaking in tongues. And the church would say, amen, amen. Not hearing what they are saying. I thought Paul said that, how can he say amen? But these ones were saying amen. Because they have so much faith in that leader. You know, people are like that. Nothing wrong in having faith in a leader, but have faith in a leader that has faith in the scriptures. Hallelujah. So, as I began to preach, I saw it in their eyes. And you know how I was quoting so many scriptures. So many scriptures. And they were looking at it. Ah, it's there. You know, bondage can be so funny that you'll be looking at a scripture and you not understand it. You look at it like this. I went for a service, a conference. And in my presence, this is one of the, you know, Bible says Jesus marveled at their unbelief. This day, man was more than marveled. He said, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, all things, and they all say, shall pass away in my presence. All things shall pass away. All things shall become new. All things shall pass away in your life. Amen. And it was a very strong denomination, but I just couldn't dare. I had to talk about it. You know, me, I don't have time to wait. I just have to talk about it. All things have passed away. See, let us pray. When I was also a younger Christian, we used to sing like that. When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. Somebody will now come and read a promise. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, when I remember his promises, I promise. All things are. All things are. It's a present tense reality. I am what the word says I am now. So as I shared with them, their eyes lit up. I said, it's the same Jesus. The same Holy Ghost. So I said, if you want to speak in tongues, come out. They ran out. I didn't look back. So you're not scared me and it didn't make me. So we began to lay hands. You know, there's a way you speak in tongues with anger. There was a brother like that in 1996. He had been saved since 86. He waited for 10 years. He said he's tarrying. I said, even the apostles did not tarry for 1 year in Jerusalem. 10 years. What kind of Christian life is that? 10 years. How are you praying? Father Lord Jesus, Father Lord Jesus, Father Lord Jesus, I give you praise and thank you. Oyidi, yidi. That is why you use all this oyidi, yidi. It is your spirit trying to find expression, so your mind misinterprets it. Speak in tongues and stop that nonsense. Words used for shogo are being used in the church. What's Alakbada? I know, is that in your Bible? Why not just say the one that is in your Bible? The one that is in your spirit is called Father. If you allow your spirit to talk, your spirit will always say Father. But when you get to your mind, begin to say, Erujeje, Nitiku. Erujeje, Erujeje. You know what Erujeje is? Hallelujah. It's Abba Father. The less is more. Hallelujah. That brother, 96, as I laid hands on him, I've never seen someone speak to God like that before. He was so angry. He began to eat the tears back up. I said, relax now. We're not the ones that put you in bondage for 10 years. Don't break our chains. He was so angry. He wanted to speak all the tongues of 10 years in one day. Hallelujah. I remember I was with her. I saw a Roman Catholic. Then she said she didn't speak in tongues because she didn't believe in. I said, but don't you believe in Mary? Said I believe in Mary, great mother of Jesus. Yep. Do you know Mary spoke in tongues? I said, huh? I opened the Bible. Acts 1:14. Mary the mother of Jesus. Acts 2. They were all. So see? Let us believe in Mary now. She spoke in tongues, just like Mary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I was ministering, and I began to lay hands on those guys. Pam, pam, pam. You could see the way they were speaking. And then they walked close to the bishop, like, if I slap you. Do you know, I think if we allow them to interpret, they'll have said, keep your, my people no longer in bondage, says the Lord. Don't put them in bondage anymore. But I think there are churches that they have to hear those kind of prophecies. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you ask them to, that's why they were reacting. If the spirit in them was let loose for the first time. So he would say something like, hey, Mr. Bishop, be careful. Don't do that to my children anymore. Hallelujah. What is new? Tongues and interpretation. Hallelujah. The most supernatural is tongues and interpretation. That's the most supernatural. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Jesus said, some will come to me in that day. They'll say, we cast out devils in your name. We heal the sick. Right? He didn't say we speak in tongues. Because Judas did the same thing. He didn't say we speak in tongues. That one is in the new birth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you understand that? It's new tongues. The new covenant. Amen. The new tongues. The new creation. Hallelujah. New tongues. So coming in the new creation, in the new covenant, in the newness of life, are new tongues. Hallelujah. So we've got new tongues, new languages, by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So quickly, let's say this. So, utterances are primary operations of all believers. Whatever ministry gifts, Paul says, you must desire tongues and interpretation. Whatever ministry gift you function with, Paul says you must desire tongues for interpretation. It's a primary ministry. Being filled with the Spirit. A primary ministry. We'll run through some things in a moment. Let me just talk about this. In Acts 2, utterances were primary. In Acts 3, power and utterances. In Acts 4, utterances primarily. Verse 8 and verse 31 and 32. In Acts 5, power and utterances. In Acts 6, utterances and power. In Acts 7, utterances. In Acts 8, utterances and power. In Acts 9, utterances and power. in Acts 10, utterances. Acts 11, utterances. Acts 13, utterances. Acts 14, power and utterance. Acts 16, power and utterance. 17 and 18, a bit shady, not too clear. 19, utterances and power. 20, utterances alone. 21, sorry. Utterances alone. 20, sorry. Utterances alone. And 21. 28, we had power. So, we had a whole lot of utterances. Almost 40% or 50% in the book of Acts were utterances. And some of our utterances in the book of Acts was that all believers functioned in it. All. Some say all. Some say all. Some say all. So, you know, when they were going to pick deacons in Acts 6, and they were going to choose deacons, they said men were full of wisdom. That's full of the word. Insight. So deacons are not people who are wealthy in the church. I have big belly. I sit in front. There are people who are full of insight, wisdom, insight, and have good report. Exemplary. And then they said they are full of the Holy Ghost. How do you know somebody is full of the Holy Ghost? By his speaking. Acts, let's see, Luke 1:47. Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, spoke. Zechariah, Luke 1:67, filled with the Spirit, spoke. Are you there? Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak. Acts 4:8, Peter, filled with the Spirit, said. Acts 4:31, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke. Acts 13:52, they were filled with the Spirit and with joy. Acts 13:9, Paul, filled with the Spirit, said. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, speaking. So how do I know if someone is filled with the Spirit? By utterances. So what is the qualification of a deacon in the ministry? That if you are going to minister in the church, we must look at your utterances. Are you giving to utterances? I mean, they were not supposed to minister utterances. That's not why they called them. They were to minister food. But the requirement was that they must be given to the things of the Spirit. Not their bank account, not the kind of cars they use, not the kind of suits they wear. Hallelujah. Not even their age. So before you put people as HOD in your church, are they filled with the Spirit? Or they are just professionals, pure professionals? No, you have to be filled with the Spirit. So in case you want anyone to come and speak in the church, he must be full of wisdom, insight in the word, and he must be full of the Spirit, and he must have good report. He must be known as a Christian in his office. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So, how do you know if someone is full of the Spirit? Huh? Full of the Spirit where? Amongst us. 1 year, you have never prophesied in your church. What is it? Jesus. Don't put that kind of person in ministry or office. When those kind of people, they'll start functioning when the rapture happens. You got to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. If we're going to lead the songs in the church, we don't need your voice. If it's voice we want, there are better unbelievers that is filled very well. Very, very well. So you don't need the anointing to sing. Singing? Don't let me mention the people I want to talk about. Though. They can sing. They sing like this. You are saying, hey! My favorite singers are not Christians. Yes. Yes. Yes now. My favorite airline is not a Christian airline. Is your favorite car a Christian? Hey! So, don't come and do entertainment in the church for me. I can get that on DSTV. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. Don't you like our music team minister? Hallelujah. You know that really, if we train our music teams very well, every service they should give us a new song. Yeah. In line with what we are teaching in the church. Your choir leader should be able to give songs regularly in line with your teaching. Not that, imagine you will be teaching the new creation in Christ, or teaching about the, and then you just bring one song from outside. So you pick your songs as a pastor. So if you allow, they'll just, and you know, people remember songs more than the sermon. They do, oh. That's why I use songs a lot when I'm preaching, so that it will stick. If you want to get people's attention, talk about the songs they like. You say, what's wrong? My magnetic song. The one I use to enter into heaven. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So they picked out seven guys, who were given to it. Who were given to it. Who have believers meeting. And all you're doing is, that's to yourself. Talk to us now. Ha. I'm here, says the Lord. That can never be a prophecy. That can never be a prophecy. Jesus gave you tongues to say, I am here, says the Lord. That is you assuring yourself. I'm here. Some guys, they have rehearsed. Don't be afraid. A guy was prophesying one day. He said, don't be afraid. But if you find yourself afraid, me too, I'm afraid too. Hallelujah. When you find people prophesy like that, I'm here, says the Lord. They are not giving to it. They are not giving to it. Did you notice that the very first time people spoke in tongues, the very first time, in Acts of the Apostles 2 and then Acts 10, they were declaring the wonderful works, magnifying God. That is baby class. God is great. God is baby class. When Paul laid hands on those guys, they prophesied. They spoke. When you now go to 1 Corinthians 14, he expects them to grow up, not to remain as babies. He said, when you prophesy, the secret of men's heart will be made manifest. That means you have been given to, you improve. Stop saying, the Lord is good. Did you just get born again? That's Acts 2, 1 to 4. Hallelujah. Let us move to 1 Corinthians 14. When you come together, hallelujah, there will be an instruction in those tongues. There will be a psalm. There will be a revelation. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are still prophesying and say, He's faithful. Brethren, He's faithful. I say He's faithful, say. What are you? I love you, says the Lord. I really do. Don't doubt my love. Brother, you better grow up. Grow up! Hallelujah. What did Paul say by prophecy? He said, the gift I was given in you by prophecy. That means by tongues and interpretation, ministries can be made known. Move on. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. He's faithful. Be bold. How many times do you want to say that in one service? Somebody has said that already. Hallelujah. So I'm giving to the things of the Spirit. Raise your hands. I'm giving to the things of the Spirit. I desire to function in the oppressions of tongues and interpretation. I speak revelation. I speak sounds. Hallelujah. David, not born again. See, diversity in sounds. Rich sounds, not born again. You are born again. Your psalm is just one line for 1 year. He's a great God. He's a great God. Hey, he's a great God. Oh, he's a great God. He's a great God. Men are not born again. Had 150 with different lines. Some will rhyme, some will not rhyme. But he's a great God. He's a great God. Oh, a great God. A great God. A great God. Watch yourself. Watch yourself now, now, now. I'm warning you. You have to move on. Move on. Move on from the day of Pentecost. Wonderful works of God. That was why they had to require Peter to preach. Paul says, when you are speaking, the unbeliever will fall down. Peter had to speak. If they were functioning like Paul was saying, as they were prophesying, men's hearts will be opened. They'll be speaking, individuals. Hallelujah. Those are the greater gifts. Hallelujah. Say, I receive enhancement to the operation of the things of the Spirit in my ministry. Quickly, go to Ephesians 5:18 and I'll close from there. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Are you learning something? All right. Ephesians 5:18. Glory to God. The things of the Spirit improve, or better still, they get better with use. The more you practice them, the more. The more you will see them in operation. It's just like, you know, we said the word charisma is from the ancient Greek language for arts, intelligence and things like that, is used for talents, natural faculties, things that you can do naturally. No matter how naturally gifted you are, you know you need to put it into practice. You do more and more and more and more and more. And that's the same thing with the things of the Spirit. Look at this. Ephesians 5:18. Hallelujah. This afternoon, we're going to have a whole lot of that. Amen? Is that amen? Tomorrow morning. I don't want anyone to leave this conference with just speaking the wonderful works of God. Amen. It's time to do those works. Praise the Lord. Look at this now. Ephesians 5:18. Can we take it together? Everybody, let's go. And be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Who gets filled with the Spirit? You. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Jesus said, out of his belly, he will drink. You will open your mouth. Be filled with the Spirit. Doing what? Speaking. Someone says speaking. How do you get filled? 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 So even if hands were laid on you, how do you get filled? Speaking. Speaking to what? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, they are not three different things. I don't have time to explain this, but I believe I've done this several times. When it says psalms, hymns, then it gives, is describing the same thing. You know, it says spiritual song. Spiritual song simply means songs from the Spirit. Songs from the Spirit. And what did Paul say that was? 1 Corinthians 14:14. Said, if I speak with tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. How is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing
with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. Is that a spiritual song? Is that a spiritual song? So in verse 26, so when you come together, every one of you has what? A tongue. An interpretation. A revelation. So, tongues and interpretation will give a revelation, an instruction, or a psalm. Why do you say psalm there? Because he already told you, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding of. So when I sing in tongues and sing the interpretation, that is a psalm. And it's also called a spiritual song. Hallelujah. 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 What was the instruction that Paul gave? He said, desire the greater gifts. So all you need to do is to want to. How many of you want to? You want to. Stand to your feet. Put your hands. Listen. Let's sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Sing it.